Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if we would, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Thank you. Last week, 2 Chronicles. Matthew, Mark, 2 Chronicles. There you go. 2 Chronicles, and then turn to chapter 7, if you would, please. 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Last week, I began a series on joy. I'm already interrupting this series, because this is not the second on joy. Although there will be some thoughts that will lead on to what we're going to share more about next week. Next week, we'll be talking about how the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that comes from Nehemiah. And that, of course, came after the restoration of Israel out of the captivity in Babylon. And there will be some things I'll share this morning from here that will apply to that. But this morning's message is called, Lest We Forget. Lest We Forget. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we are really looking at, let me give you a little context. Thousands of years ago, King David had a 33 to 40 year reign as king of Israel, first king of Judah, 7 years, then king of Israel for 33. So 40 altogether. And many still consider David's reign the finest zenith of Israel's history. When you go over to Israel today, they will talk wonderfully and reverently about David. Now, we know David was not a perfect man, but the Bible declares David was the man after God's own heart. But David expanded the borders of Israel by conquest and by war. And God allowed David to defeat a lot of his enemies. But then Solomon came on the throne after David was done, and Solomon's charge was to keep the peace and keep the nation of Israel. And one of the ways that he did that was by peace through strength. And Solomon did a lot of things right, some things wrong, but he had a very, very large standing army. They have been discovering through archaeological digs the outposts where he had his horses and the horses and Solomon's stables, if you will, for chariots and horses. And vast resources were gathered by Solomon. There was a lot of taxing of the people as well, if you recall. And if you remember your history, after Solomon left the throne and his son came in, remember what the people came in and said? Please let up the tax burden. Let the burden off of our shoulders. Remember that? And his son didn't do that, did he? And it caused the division. Solomon built a massive temple, at least twice as large, if not more, than the tabernacle of the Lord, or the tent, if you will. And just listen to the amount of gold. Now gold, even if you consider when, a long time ago now, gold was $35 an ounce. The amount of gold that went into Solomon's temple that he built was $2.5 billion. Now, as of this morning at 5:30, gold is $605.90 an ounce. How much do you think that would be multiplied in cost now? Their temple was a magnificent structure. God allowed David to have this vision in his heart, but God wouldn't allow David to build it. But his son Solomon did. The building took 7.5 years to complete. The key feature, or at least I think it's the most important feature, the key feature of Solomon's temple was, in contrast to all of the buildings built to honor gods on every other nation on the face of the earth, in this building there sat no idol, because God is personal. And it was a place of seeking and serving the Lord. But there was no idol representing God, because he is a personal God with you, with me, as he was with Israel then. Isn't that cool? I think that's one of the neatest parts about his temple. There was not an idol representing God. He's not a statue made with human hands. He's not deaf. His hand is not shortened so that he doesn't hear us. He's a God to be sought personally. Now, what I want to do is we are looking at some scriptures this morning where Solomon dedicated the temple after the 7.5 years of building. Verses 1 through 3, when Solomon had finished praying, verses 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 1 through 3, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled where? The glory of the Lord filled the temple. Is God alive? Does His glory ever fill the temple? Does He fill you, the temple of the Holy Spirit, today? Does He fill us with worship as we're worshiping? Does He fill us with His presence? Wouldn't it also be cool to see what's called the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, as a cloud would fill this room and we had to kneel and bow before Him? Now, wouldn't that be cool? And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Verse 3. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good." Good verse, Pastor Sherry. "For He is good, for His mercy endures forever." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 4 through 6, we'll continue on. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. You may say, "Man, that was a bloody mess." I know. Aren't you thankful we don't have to do that nowadays? So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests attended to their services, the Levites also with the instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For His mercy endures forever." Say that phrase with me, would you please? "For His mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets opposite them while Israel stood. Folks, this was a 15-day ceremony. This was a 15-day celebration. Celebrate Jesus. Celebrate. And we come into the house of the Lord for an hour, and we think we're doing pretty good. But they got together here for 7 days at the dedication of the temple to the Lord. Then they went right into what was one of their best feast celebrations, the Feast of Tabernacles, celebrating the ingathering, the harvest, the time of real powerful celebration before the Lord. For 15 days, they're rejoicing before God. God is moving. And yes, they're doing their sacrifices. That was the way they worshiped then. Jesus was the final Lamb of God who shed His blood. We don't have to do 120,000 goats and sheep. Aren't you glad? Jesus personally might have preferred the other system, but He still shed His blood for you and for me. But God gave Solomon some promises and some warnings for the future. Let's go to verse 12. Verses 12 through 22. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain." By the way, there was a news story just yesterday or 2 days ago that the United States, throughout much of the land, has not only entered several years of drought, we are into our 7th year of drought as a nation. And one of the things that the people were saying is, overall, as a nation, it doesn't look like that's coming to a close anytime soon. Now, when Israel faced conditions like that, do you know what they did? Sought God. They sought God. They hit their knees. As a nation, we have forgotten God and forgotten how to seek Him. But nevertheless, when there is no rain, or we command the locusts, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, verse 14, I'd like you to read it out loud, and I don't care what translation you have with you this morning. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Then I will hear. Then I will forgive. Then I will heal their land." Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. "For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Verse 17, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But, you always want to pay attention to the thens and the buts. Verse 19, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes, and my statutes rather, and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this or thus to this land and this house? And they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Church, do you understand it's a country, a city, a nation is not secure based on the size of their army or their stockpile of gold and silver. It is secure only by the hand of God. Can you say amen? Only by the hand of God. And today we stand here in America, secure yet only by the hand of God. I thank God for our first responders, as Pastor Carl was sharing this morning. I thank God for them. I thank God for our military men and women. Can you say amen? Men and women, boys and girls, really. You know, I'm 53 now. They're just kids. All across the face of this earth in different locations, fighting battles there so we don't have to be fighting bloody battles in our own streets. I'm still grateful for that. Not that they're having to fight, but that they are willing to stand vigilant guard. Our first responders to tragedy, police, fire, our inland or internal homeland security, I'm grateful for all of them. But let us not deceive ourselves. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Do you recall after Solomon walked away from the Lord? The Bible says his many wives, and he had a bundle of them, 300 wives, 700 concubines. He was one tired guy. The Bible says they turned his heart from the Lord. And do you remember what happened? This nation of peace strengthened borders. As his heart wandered from the Lord, all of a sudden, enemies began to rise up who had been put down. Enemies began to inflict problems on the borders, and there were problems all around. I want to say to you, church, come on, let's be honest with each other. We don't have to say it out loud, but let's be honest. When you know you are in sin and turn to sin, problems begin to occur in the borders of our lives. Problems that we used to have victory over, all of a sudden, I'm not so victorious anymore. When you open a door, Bob Mumford used to say, when you give the enemy a handle, he loves to shake the handle. Remember? Ever? Don't look at me so pious. Ever been shaking around? The enemy reaches in and says, ah, I found a handle. How come I can't get any victory? Because you offered a handle to the enemy. Therefore, if I repent, God is able to hear, to forgive, to heal. But let's take that nationally, church. We stand here this morning. Tomorrow, is the fifth anniversary of what's become known as 9/11. 5 years ago, tomorrow, the worst attack on our borders that has ever, ever occurred. And we say glibly, as news media, well, I don't want to show that too much. You know, you don't want to scare people. You remember what happened in World War II? Some of you do. Some of us don't. In World War II, the news media used to cooperate with the government in some ways. Now, I know the government is corrupt in some ways. The government needs Jesus, folks. We all need Jesus. All God's people and everybody else all need Jesus, right? I'm not saying the government is perfect. But they used to cooperate, and they censored themselves. And they wouldn't allow, they wouldn't even, in pictures in the newspaper, they wouldn't show radar up on top of the masts and the poles of ships. They wouldn't give away our technology. They wouldn't give away the location of where troops were. They just would not do that. But one thing America did not do after Pearl Harbor, they did not forget. They did not allow us as a country to forget. Lest we forget and become casual. Pastor Carl had a post of it I always thought was worth quoting. Casual Christians become Christian casualties. Casual Christians become Christian casualties. The hijacking of four commercial airlines airliners departing from the East Coast Airport, fueled for flights to California, took place on September 11th. Jet fuel capacities of nearly 24,000 U.S. gallons on each aircraft effectively made each plane an incendiary guided missile. American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the north side of the North Tower of the World Trade Center at 8:46 and 30 seconds. United Airlines Flight 175 crashed into the South Tower at 9:02:59. American Airlines 77 crashed into the Pentagon at 9:37:46. United Airlines Flight 93 crashed into a field in southwest Pennsylvania, just outside of Shanksville, about 150 miles northwest of Washington, D.C. Parts and debris were discovered up to 8 miles away from the crash site. 2,973 people were killed, including the 246 on the four planes, 2,602 people in the New York City in the towers and on the ground, 125 at the Pentagon. 343 of those fatalities were New York City Fire Department firefighters, 23 New York City Police Department officers, 37 Port Authority police officers. Another 24 remain listed as missing in the attack in the World Trade Center to this day. In addition to the 110-foot World Trade Towers, five other buildings at the World Trade Center site, including seven World Trade Center, and including number seven of the World Trade Center, and the Marriott Hotel, four New York City subway stations, and St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church were destroyed or badly damaged. In Manhattan, 25 buildings were damaged. All seven buildings of the World Trade Center complex had to be razed to the ground. Later, an eighth building, the Deutsche Bank building across Liberty Street from the World Trade Center complex, had to be demolished as well due to the uninhabitable toxic conditions for their office tower. A portion of the Pentagon was severely damaged by fire. One section of the building collapsed. The hijackers reportedly took control of the aircraft by using box cutter knives to kill flight attendants and at least one pilot or passenger. And then they gathered together things like tear gas or pepper spray, and it was reportedly used upon the American 11 and United 175 to keep passengers out of the first-class cabin as they had hijacked the planes. Todd Beamer, you remember Todd Beamer's name? Todd Beamer had asked for the operator on the phone with him to pray with him before the passengers attempted to retake the aircraft. After praying with the operator on the phone, the famous words among his last were, "Let's roll." And that became the war cry for those fighting the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Flight 93's target was the United States Capitol. An estimated 200 people, 200 in the World Trade Center, apparently jumped to their deaths from the burning building. I saw a news article last night of a man with tears in his eyes 5 years later saying, one couple, or several possibly, he at least saw one couple holding hands on the way out because they didn't want to be burned in the building. Some of the occupants of each tower above the point of impact made their way upwards to the roof because they were under the understanding that helicopters would rescue them. And you know what happened when they got to the top? The doors were locked. They could not escape. The point of impact, those above, they then began to try to come back down. There were 1,366 people at or above the floors of impact in the North Tower. Hundreds were killed instantly by the impact. The rest, many of them trapped, died later. As many as 600 people were killed instantly or trapped at or above the floors of impact at the South Tower. Only 18 managed to escape from above the impact zone and out of the South Tower before it collapsed. The city identified over 1,600 bodies, but was unable to identify the rest. About 1,100 people remained unidentified. Again, about 400 rescue workers, most of them fire department officials, died when the towers collapsed. About 16,000 people were below the impact zones. The vast majority of those below the impact area survived by evacuation and by their escape. Do you know, one of the things you might not have heard is there was a planned simultaneous attack on the Palace of Westminster and the Tower Bridge in England. Those plans were aborted at the last minute when the would-be hijackers, waiting for boarding the planes, saw the news of the devastation and damage in America, got spooked, and fled. So England wasn't involved on that particular day. Al-Qaeda initially, apparently, planned to crash a plane into the tallest building in addition on the western side of the United States, the Liberty Tower in Los Angeles, on the same day. But the attack was postponed by bin Laden and subsequently foiled. December 27, 2001, bin Laden released a video in which he said, "Terrorism against America deserves to be praised because it was a response to injustice." Shortly before the U.S. presidential election in 2004, put out another statement where he finally publicly acknowledged Al-Qaeda's involvement on the attacks and admitted his own direct links. In an audio tape aired on Al Jazeera on May 21, 2006, just a little while ago, he finally admitted he personally directed the 19 terrorists. Rescue and fire efforts, recovery efforts took months to complete, took weeks just to put out the fires burning in the rubble of the buildings. The cleanup of the building was not complete until the year 2002. One of the things that had occurred that was just absolutely fantastic, if you can find good things in the midst of bad, is when those buildings came down. How many remember watching it on television? I had Good Morning America on, and you could see the buildings right behind them, and I watched, sat there and watched a gate, my mouth agape, as the second plane flew right into the second building. One of the good things that happened, and I've told the story before, but one of the good things that happened, God has his ways. When the buildings came down, there were a couple of pieces still welded together of this astronomical steel structure. And it, when it came down and lodged itself in the earth, it was in the form of a cross. Rescue people came around a corner, and there it was, a huge cross. People began to lay flowers, burn candles there, and pray. And to this day, the cross is one of the memorials that they have at that site. And the atheists are all upset. You're passing around. The atheists are all upset. How can you have a cross? How can you not? How can you not? The cross gives people hope, gives people life. In Him, and in Him crucified, is our hope. Folks, you know, I think the thing to realize, and I know this is a different message, but the thing we have to realize is this is a spiritual struggle. The most extreme, radical, fundamentalist Islamic perspective is out to destroy us sitting here. There are moderate people that are not, but the most extreme among them are. You read their press, you read what they say, they are dedicated to the destruction of America and Israel. It is not just live and let live. But what do we do? Who can protect our borders? Thank God for our military men and women. Thank God for the radar screens, and thank God for the air tower controllers, and thank God for the policemen and the firemen. I'm grateful for our EMTs right across the street. I think when you see them tomorrow or anytime this week or anytime, you ought to thank them for the job they're doing, because their life is on the line day in, day out. Thank God for them. But folks, unless God keeps the city, they labor in vain who watch it. Lord, have mercy on us as a country, because we have not continued to walk with Him. Regardless of where you are politically, terrorism is the war in which we are engaged. Let's pray for our soldiers, our men and women in the military. Let's pray for their success and protection. But we've got to realize as a country, we're only great if America is good, and only God is good. If my people humble themselves, the Hebrew word humble is kana, and it means literally to bend the knee, to humiliate, to vanquish. Church, when was the last time you bent your knees before God to pray? When was the last time? God, have mercy on our land. Have mercy on our lives. Oh, that's an Old Testament prayer position. No, it's a daily prayer position. God, I come down before you. First thing I do when I get up in the morning is I drop to my knees. Sincerely, I drop to my knees and I thank God for giving me a new day to live. Let me hold on to this spirit of peace as I go into the day. Doesn't always happen, so I drop to my knees again at the end of the day. Humble ourselves, where we come down and we realize the victories aren't by our hands. The provision isn't by our hands. We've turned away so much from the Word of God. We've become a complaining nation instead of continually grateful for the bounty and the blessings. We live for ourselves to do our thing. Come on, church, anybody in this room like to do your own thing? Are you honest enough to say yes with this hand, this foot, and that one too? We do our thing. We forget His word. We play instead of pray. We dance instead of fast. We spend billions and for the guy who was the stars, billions and billions. We spend billions on sports, equipment for our homes, cars. Not much for the house of God. In comparison. Moral decay, drugs, immorality, perversion worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality, the sex trade, child pornography. What a stench upon our land. Can you say amen? Amen. What a stench upon our nation. People turning to the occult and spiritualism, rebellion, complaint. Jesus is a swear word rather than the name of the one we love. The one to whom we surrender and pray. As a nation, as a people, even as a church, I'm sure, in our own lives, we need to humble ourselves. Say, God, I repent. I repent. If my people will humble themselves, pray and seek my face. The word pray in Hebrew is palal, and it means to intercede, to entreat, and seek. Bakash, bakash, and it literally means to search out, Just try it after. When you were a little kid, did you ever do what I did? You know, you play war games and hide and seek and all that stuff. Did you ever, you know, just energetically really go for it, searching out? And every time, I lived in 28 places before I was 18. Every house I ever moved into, I looked for secret passageways. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, oh man, it's got to be something. You know, and you search it out, and you seek it out, and you're serious. You ever lose a quarter? What would you search for? Would you search for a penny if you lost it nowadays? No, okay, how about a nickel? No, a dime. How about a buck? Silver dollar. Search for that, baby. How about 300 bucks? Talk to Pastor Carl and Terry about that one day. They hid $300 away in their house. I think 15 years later, they finally found it. You know, but have you ever hidden anything in your house you can't find? Man, you're searching, you're searching, you're searching, you're searching. And God says, look, if you'll be serious about me, if you really want me, search for me. God, where are you in this thing? Where are you in what you're allowing to happen? This evil that's just been fostered in our land. Where are you as he throws down a cross in front of the world's eyes? Interesting. Did you hear about all the buildings that were destroyed at the Ground Zero? And all of them had to be razed? One building across the street that wasn't destroyed, St. Paul's Cathedral, a serving church since the Revolutionary War. And that became the place for the first responders to sleep and eat and have help right across the street. So God throws a cross down, and his house still stands. And his house still stands. No matter what happens, the church continues. Oh God, if my people will humble themselves, pray, and seek my face. Seek my face. He alone is worthy, and he alone is the hope and help for America. If we'll turn from our wicked ways, oh come on, I'm a nice guy. If we'll turn from our wicked ways, Hebrew word is shub, means to turn back, return to the starting point. That's what repentance is. You're walking away from God, and when you see that sin, you turn around, you repent, and you head back toward God, the place I departed from. And I go back to him, I go, God, forgive me. Have mercy on me. I turn away from this wickedness. I don't want this thing in my life anymore. Forgive me, Lord. We need to turn from our own wicked ways. And I know I'm looking at a group of people right along with me who are tempted, who sometimes fail, who are not yet perfect, just like Jesus. You know the areas in your own life. I'm not preaching at anybody this morning. I'm saying, church, this is what God calls us to. If we want to be right with God, if we want to be right with God as a nation, we need to be right with him as individuals. And right with him as a people. Jesus, you're our starting point. You read the history of our nation, it was dedicated to God. People came to this land to worship the Lord. We need to turn from our wicked ways. Is there anything in your life this morning that is an offense to God? Is there sin? We commit sin, sins of commission, and sins of omission. I do what I know I shouldn't. I don't do what I know I should. Either way. No, I'm not a bank robber. Come on, Pastor Kev. Sin, the definition of sin, hamartia. It's like pulling an arrow, shooting it at the bullseye, and if it's off just even a little, the word sin means to miss the mark. Jesus, forgive me when I sin. Ask his mercy. Ask his forgiveness. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to do what, church? Forgive you your sin. And to cleanse you from how much? All unrighteousness. Aren't you glad for that? Man, that makes me happy. How about you? I'm glad to be clean. I'm glad to be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that he took my sin. He went to Calvary. I didn't have to do it. Jesus, I come to you now for forgiveness, for strength, for life, for salvation, for hope, for deliverance. And I choose to walk with you in that strength. Turn from our own wicked ways. If you don't know him, surrender to him today. And let him be Lord and Savior. And when you do, when you repent, the Bible says, something happens. He promises three things, and we'll come to a close soon. Number one, he hears. How many are glad that God hears you? Come on, I said, how many are glad God hears you? Have you ever been hopeless in the day or in the night, morning? It doesn't matter. Nobody's around crying those tears. God, I need you. I need you more today than ever. I can't believe that thing happened. Lord, forgive me. Or maybe it's something that happened to you. How many are glad, really glad God hears you? Oh, he's a living God. There was no idol in the temple. It was a living God. And it was all about, the whole temple was a place to represent God's presence on the earth. And all of the nations were to gather to Israel to come and worship the Lord. They failed that mission, but the church has it now. Not a statue over in the corner, but a Jesus in your heart who hears you. I can't tell you the gladness, the delight, the joy of just being glad he hears me. Can I ask you an honest question? You ever had a relationship with your kids, all right? Kids. If you didn't have kids, maybe nephews, nieces, somebody. You knew they were getting ready to make the wrong choice. And you talked with them. They didn't change. And you talked with them again. They didn't change. Yeah. You think I'm talking about you, don't I? Yeah, don't you? Yeah. And you talk to them again, and they didn't change, and you talk to them again until finally you're sitting there ready to shake them, and God says, hey, let them go. If they're adults, not if they're little kids, under your roof. They're adults, Kevin. You have to let them make their choice. And your heart breaks, and you sit there, and God, Lord, my prayer, oh God, won't you open their ears and let them hear you and let them hear me? And they don't want it. Doesn't it break your heart? It's real stuff. How many know that sometimes you've been like that with God? God says, yoo-hoo, it's you. Hey, Kev, don't do that. Excuse me. See you later. And God's saying, I wish you'd hear me. Like I hear you when you cry out. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear them. The word Shema means to hear intelligently. God knows you. He knows what you're going through. I've had people, people say, now, I want to ask you this question about this real estate thing. I want to talk about this. Okay, so you answer it. They go, no, you didn't hear me. Okay, honey, ask it again. Sometimes we don't hear. God hears intelligently. He knows. He hears. Number two, he forgives. He forgives. Turn to each other and say, isn't it good that Jesus forgives? Turn to each other and say, you need forgiveness. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. He forgives. Listen, church, David committed his sin, adultery with Bathsheba, and killed her husband. And when you see him go to God in the Psalms, you remember what it says? Against thee. And thee only have I sinned. It's not that he didn't sin against the rest, it's that he understood. It's God who forgives. Forgiveness, if it's going to be clean and pure and right and delivering, has to come from the hand of God. And then when you forgive me, it's also releasing. But it starts with God. He says, I'll hear you. I'll forgive you. And thirdly, this beautiful thing. He says, I'll heal your land. The Hebrew word is rapha. He says, like stitching. He says, I'll mend. I'll cure. I'll heal your land. How many understand that America needs healing? America needs healing, church. Solomon led the nation in prayer and in dedication, but he also led the nation away from God. His first 20 years were great. His last 20 years, some of those years were as a depraved man, a broken-hearted man who had turned away from God because he allowed sin to capture his life. The Bible says, worship the Lord alone, him alone, he alone is worthy. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Solomon made choices, and it affected his generations. We've made decisions. Let us intercede. Let us pray. Let us repent that God will have mercy. Because Solomon turned away from God, he led his nation down a road where they worshiped other gods. They hardened their heart and turned to depravity. And God sent one prophet after another prophet after another prophet to them, saying, turn, repent. And they said, we'll have nothing to do with it. And finally, he sent Israel into captivity, into Babylon. Like getting tucked away in a coffin, closing the lid. The nation's destroyed. The temple's destroyed. Now, I talked to you about how much gold was in the temple. Can you understand now when the nations would come to them to overrun them? Remember those kings that kept slicing off pieces of gold from the temple and giving it to them, and it would send the enemy away? There's a lot of gold in there, folks. The temple ended up being destroyed. The people ended up being carted off and hauled away. Darkness. I don't hear the voice of God. I chose wrong. God can still have mercy. God can still have mercy. They're in Babylon, and the prophecy comes from Jeremiah. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to help you. I still love you. I still have covenant with you. You're going to stay there a while. Sometimes we have problems that remain, don't they? Somebody say amen or oh no. But God says, I still love you. I'll still deliver you. I'm still your God. I'm going to bring you out of captivity. And Cyrus, a king who didn't even know God. I said it wrong the other day. It was not 490 years, 150 years at least before it happened. Isaiah prophesies about a king named Cyrus who's going to open the doors for you to go back and build Israel again. Hope in the midst of despair. Lest we forget, 2001, 5 years ago, tomorrow. An incredibly dastardly deed, an atrocity of terrorism, an attack and a war against our country. God be with our men and women in the military. God give us protection. But God, forgive us of our sins as a land. Can you come to your knees with me? If you can kneel, do so. If you cannot, I just want to spend a few minutes together in prayer. If you can't, just stay, remain seated. But if you can, let's come to our knees, church, and let's spend a few minutes in prayer together. Jesus, our heart's cry is not to forget. Our heart's cry is not to forget you, or your hand, or your love, or your mercy. But Lord, as a nation, even as a people, we have forgotten you. God, we have turned to our own devices and every wicked thing from Sodom and Gomorrah, immorality and pornography and perversion and covenant breaking and Jesus' thievery and drug taking, which is a scourge in our land. Oh God, the open door in our land of the methamphetamine problem and stuff that's destroying lives. Forgive us, oh God. Have mercy on our land, we pray. Jesus, we pray for America that you would forgive us. And let us return to understanding that your word is truth. Father, forgive us in our nation's capital, petty politics that play the game instead of righteousness prevailing for our nation. We pray as you instruct us to do in Timothy for our president this morning. for Congress, Supreme Court, House of Representatives, and Senate. God, let righteousness prevail. Let true wisdom prevail. Let them see the scripture as understanding the right heart. And Jesus, set your banner up over our nation. Forgive us of our sins. We, your people, turn from our wicked ways. We seek your face. Now I urge you, even in the quietness of your place before God, if there's something Jesus is working on in your life this morning, repent of it right where you are. I'm going to take a couple of minutes in silence just for you to pray. If you want to cry out to God, cry out to God. But repent right where you are as a clear, clean thing by your Spirit. And right now, by faith, we receive forgiveness. Just tell Jesus you receive his forgiveness, church. Just receive him right now. I receive your forgiveness, oh God. We receive your mercy. Now, Lord, still on our knees, once again together we dedicate America to you. You're the only one who keeps our borders. Lord, protect our first responders, police, fire people, the Homeland Security. Protect us, Lord. Let us win. Lord Jesus, let freedom prevail. Let this freedom in which we gather to worship you, let this lifestyle prevail, O God. Forgive us for our own greed and envy. But, O God, let us lift up the cross of Christ, Jesus and him crucified. Lord, we love you and commit all this to your hands in Jesus' name. Church, let's close as we sing this song. Let's stand and let's go forward with a thanksgiving spirit. You've been forgiven now by God's grace and hand. If you have something you want to talk about afterwards, I know that I'll be here and others will be here to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, we'll be honored to pray with you. We do these things in remembrance of him. Let's not forget. Amen? He alone is worthy. Here we go.